It's Tuesday at 8 p.m. and you're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.
Now, over the past few weeks, I have been talking to finalists in the 2024 Small Firms Association Small Business Awards. And tonight, we're putting the spotlight on Birgitta Heddon-Curtin, whose company, the multi-award-winning Burr & Smokehouse in Listonvarna, County Clare, celebrated being highly commended in the food and drink category. But that's not all the Burr & Smokehouse is celebrating, as this year marks 35 years in business. Let's find out more.
Bon appetit.
Yummy.
Grubs up.
Delicious.
Birgitta, I have to start off by congratulating you on your highly commended award that you received at the recent Small Firms Association Small Business Awards. Another award to add to the many that you've already received.
Yeah, no, I was thrilled. It was a sweet moment and, you know, stiff competition. There were some amazing names, you know, really good food producers like Murphy's Ice Cream. And of course, she got the first award. But highly commended was really good. I was thrilled, really thrilled. And that is Board Bia that is sponsoring that award. Very good. And we were shortlisted in two more categories. So that was really, as a nominee and as a finalist, it's a hard place to come to, you know. And so I was thrilled that we got the highly commended award from the SFA Awards.
And can I ask you why you are a member of the Small Firms Association, why you decided to join it and the benefit of being a member?
Well, I suppose one of the things, we have a lot of new legislation coming up. One of them is the minimum wage, and other, you know, there's a lot of costs coming up for SMEs, and to have somebody lobbying the government for us, like SFA, that's hugely important. And also, I suppose, being aware of what's going on. And the process of being an SFA finalist was, you know, it's a big award, even being a finalist, because there's training involved, there's networking. So it's, you know, you're very well looked after by SFA. It's not like other awards. It's a kind of a standout award, really. For that purpose, it's very much looking after the finalists.
You're celebrating 35 years in business this year. So you were talking about the minimum wage there. You must have seen so many different developments in that period of time that have made being a small business quite challenging at times.
Yeah, sure. It's constant. You know, you have to dodge and bounce and, you know, come up with innovative any form of innovation that you can do. And of course we want to look after our staff, and of course we want to, you know, pay people well, but, you know, with food production can be quite small margins, and when you're working with a high price raw material as well, it is challenging with margins. And that's why we try to do, like, with food tourism is very important to us. The online sales is hugely important to us. If we were going to do just manufacturing and providing to the wholesale, you know, we would have to have, our volumes would have to be much, much higher than we are. And then, you know, you wonder about the quality, you know. It's a challenge there to work with. And as I say, innovation is really important. And but it is, I know that it's been pricing, or, you know, minimum wage increases on a continuous basis, but it's quite steep what is coming up. And again, I'm all for it in a way, but to step up to the kind of increases that are happening, because it doesn't only affect the people on minimum wage, it also affects other people that suddenly find themselves on maybe minimum wage. So, you know, and it is difficult. Like, we're on the west coast of Ireland. There are different challenges, and also, in a way, for it might be more reasonable for people to live on the west coast of Ireland than city centre Dublin. So that's, I suppose, might not have been taken into account. And then, yeah, the SMEs, there's a lot of regulations coming up, and there's a lot of administration for that regulations. And again, we want to be compliant, we want to follow everything, but it does cost.
You've mentioned food tourism and innovation, and I want to come back to that in a minute. But the other thing I want to just highlight, you were talking about online sales. When you started your business 35 years ago, the internet wasn't really there. So in terms of contacting people and generating databases, there was a lot of, I would say, licking of envelopes and stamps and postage, sending out brochures. Now, you always do a lovely brochure coming up to Christmas, but there was a lot of work involved in capturing that customer information and using it.
Yeah, and I mean, we're talking about faxes and emails. You know, like, the first website was literally an email address for ordering. You know, you email, that was it. And then, and it's interesting, on the German, our German customers, till fairly recently, were still using fax. You know, that it's interesting how, you know, people relied on that. Particularly in Germany, for whatever reason. But yes, it has gone leaps and bounds, and different opportunities have, you know, really, like, the technology has really improved so much and given us other tools. Still cost money, you know, but it's other tools that you can avail of and use for finding out data and finding out information and looking at your own data. And where does our customers come from? What age group are they? And so that there's an advantage in that without, you know, in going into people's lives, you know. So, yeah, no, it's a very important part of our business. Hugely so.
I'd completely forgotten about the fax machine. I must ask my children this evening, do you know what a fax machine is? I bet you they won't have a clue. Yeah, it's a long time since I've sent or received a fax, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, 35 years in business, we have experienced a lot, you know, and we've gone through a lot of difficulties, and we've come through difficulties. And there've been times when I wouldn't really know how I'm going to get out of the situation. I know that I will, but it's kind of, yeah, there are could be a couple of months that you go through pain of finding the solutions, and but solutions have come to us, and that's where we're still in business, you know. And it's kind of, yeah, you need to be creative of your mind, and you need to be innovative and allow things that you've never done before, you know, to start to step into areas where you things that you've never done before. And that's very interesting.
And to come back to the food tourism side of things, like, you have a fantastic visitor center there. For somebody listening that maybe hasn't come across it, just describe it, because you have two visitor offerings there. So let's start with the original visitor center that you have.
Yeah, so I mean, we have always been open for, you know, that's how we started, with wanting to showcase the very best of food to people passing by on their en route to Cliffs of Moher, you know, through the barn. And that was what we wanted to do. That's a real strong philosophy of giving a taste of and giving an explanation on why, how we do it to people, that real Irish food that is produced here in an artisan way to the best of our ability, and mine, you know, with carefully selected ingredients. And that's what we are about. And the people are genuinely really interested in learning to know that. So we've been, initially it was like, you know, you come in and you learn in the visitor center, you learn about the smoking process, and, you know, the oak shavings, and people often share their own experiences of, they might be trying to do some smoking at home, so they might want a few tips. And that's, you know, one of the conversations that we have. And we welcome individuals, couples, intergenerational families. We welcome small groups and sometimes special interest large groups. And they could come from, you know, a food point of view, sometimes a business point of view, women traveling together and so on. So, you know, we can angle the communication and the experience to what is needed. We have school tours coming. We have French students that are, you know, they would buy a bit of smoked salmon to bring home to their parents because, you know, France is just so big for food. And we have Irish school tours coming to us and learning to know, understanding about business, but also about how the salmon is produced and where it comes from. So we added on the experience of not only talking about how we smoke and so on, but where the salmon comes from. And that we got an opportunity to open Taste the Atlantic, a Seafood Journey in 2019. And that has really added to the understanding of the sustainability, where the salmon comes from, you know, the organic certification, how can it be organic, is wild salmon organic, and so on. So, and then the biggest step forward in recent times was maybe 3 years ago when we opened up the burnexperiences.com. And in there, you have a menu of different experiences, and you can come in kind of self-guided tours at a certain price, you know, like for a couple and two children, it's €25 for which very reasonable price, I think, you know, for a full experience, and would take about 45 to one hour. We are also connected with the Roadside Tavern. It's where, you know, I met Peter, my husband, and we started the smokehouse together. But the Roadside Tavern is part of our experiences as well. So you can do beer tasting. And that's another food tourism event where people learn to know, like we have the Burn Brewery, which is a destination, Roadside Tavern is a destination brew pub. So all the beer that we brew is served in only in the Roadside Tavern. So in order to taste the beers, you have to come to visit us because we don't distribute it. So that's a unique experience as well. And you can combine when you go to burnexperiences.ae, you can see combinations of maybe half an hour looking at the smoked salmon and doing the tasting and understanding about that. Another half an hour, you go across to the pub and you get a beer tasting. So that we combine that. And the ultimate, again, with, you know, COVID and the whole change of tourism and the stopping of tourism, what came back after COVID was a lot of self-drive, smaller groups, and chauffeur-driven as well. Since we do have some amazing five-star establishments like the Ashford Castle, the Adair Manor, Tremolin Castle, Marin Hotel up in Dublin. And we do supply many of them with our smoked salmon. So people would come to this five-star establishment, they would taste the salmon, and then they can come down in a chauffeur-driven and come and visit us. Now, that's a slightly different price range. They would spend an hour with me, and they would spend an hour with Peter. So if you go online, it's €280 for two people. And that we, you know, it's behind the scene. You go in, I can bring, you know, small amounts of people down into the smokehouse where we in the live production area, have to kit out fully. And then it's a short tour inside and get a feel for that. So it's a different experience. And then we go up to, of course, you go do the tasting, you do the visitor center, you go into the Taste the Atlantic and get the feel for where the salmon comes from. Then we go up to Peter in the Roadside Tavern, and you do beer tasting, get to see the actual brewery, and then sit down for lunch with smoked salmon and our beer. So two artisan produce that we produce ourselves. And, you know, there's a certain amount of storytelling, which we also do specifically. You can book a storytelling with Peter, talking about the area, talking about Tolkien, society and the Tolkien coming to the Burn, talking about the Curtin family, talking about, you know, the history of Listenvarna, talking about the history of Ireland. You know, he's very much into that, and he shares that in his storytelling. So, yeah, that has been a bit of a game changer for us. It takes time to build up business. It doesn't happen overnight, but I'm seeing more and more of the, well, certain amount of small tours. We have always had that, but the growth area is really the chauffeur-driven American, mainly American visitors. And that is very helpful to us, you know, and we enjoy it. I really enjoy meeting people that on a more kind of a one-to-one basis. I get a, you know, it's an exchange of, you know, people come in as strangers and then you leave as friends, you know. So that yeah, it's been, I did go out to, with the help of Tourism Ireland and Forge Ireland, went to US, to New York, the East Coast, New York and Boston before Christmas. And that's, I think that is, I can see the effect of that. We also do the ITOA, Irish Tour Operators Association, and then the Mehel. So, you know, you have to go out there to try to get the business in. And but I suppose it's helpful when you know what you're looking for and what you can offer, and to have an offering. That was very much helped by Fulcher Island, realized, you know, that there needs to be a lot more experiences. And that was very interesting because actually, I know you. We were saying maybe talk about. I did go to Iceland with Peter. It was a big birthday, and we got this as a gift from our youngsters. They sent us off to Iceland for a week in March, so that we could see a bit of the Northern Lights, which we actually did, which is amazing. But that was an interesting experience also from a kind of a research point of view on tourism. They have done it. They're very, very well developed tourism there. You have a menu of different things they can do. And that's what is happening in, we have that in Ireland as well, and the friendliness. But it is still very inspiring to go and see a different area for whale watching, which we happen to see a whale. It's like, yes, you kind of have very low expectation. Will you see it? Will you, won't you? But we did. And the same thing, Northern Lights, very lucky. You know, you have to be lucky as well. And I felt we were very lucky with this particular week. Good food offering. And actually met Robin Gill, who has been to the Robin Gill, Irish chef, doing very well in the UK and around London. And he was doing a guest appearance in one of the restaurants in Reykjavik for the kind of food week, where they invited chefs in. So it was amazing. Just randomly, I didn't know about this. And very lucky, just kind of coincided and met Robin Gill and his wife and child. So that was, you know, the food network is it's a great network. And it's reasonably small. And with the help of Food on the Edge and meeting people from all over the world, that's been very, very helpful. And all the initiatives that have been done, Litfest before that and Food on the Edge, they're two, like, with bringing in international food community, it's amazing. It's amazing.
I was watching your social media there, and I saw that you saw the Northern Lights and that you met Robin Gill. And just to hear you talk about that trip and the inspiration that you got out of it. And I think it's very hard when we work in food to go away on a holiday and completely switch off from everything. Because we're always working and thinking, but we're lucky that it's our passion, so we don't mind it. We really enjoy doing it. And the innovation that you've introduced into your business over the 35 years, which includes the food tourism offering, is really incredible. But also collaboration. You're a big fan and an advocate for collaboration. And you have worked with other Irish companies over the year to offer new innovative products.
Yeah, and I mean, feel very fortunate to live in the Barren with the Barren Ecotourism Network. That is such an incredible platform. And we were 60 businesses working together. And that's not only, you know, food is goes through everything, of course, but, you know, hoteliers, restaurateurs, chefs, different experiences, yoga, you know, everything that is happening in the Barren. But it's that thing of building the destination that is so important. And we've done like 12 years of Barren Ecotourism Network and the Barren Geopark, you know. And again, I did go to the Geopark where the two tectonic plates meet, America and Eurasia. The two tectonic plates are sitting there right beside each other. And that's why you have all the volcanic activity. So, you know, the geopark concept, you know, even to see that in other places, and that is hugely important. It really, it's such a quality experience, and it adds so much to an area like the Barren, you know. So I feel very fortunate. I mean, I did fall in love with the Barren and the Clare and the coast and the Orne Islands and all that. It's part of my love in life, you know, along with, of course, my roots in Sweden and so on. You know, that's also part of my love in life. And to be able to bring up my family here, it's extraordinary in such an incredible landscape. And they do, one person have actually settled here, and I have two more that are in London, but they love coming back, you know, and that feeling of that they love coming back and seeing us, but also for the area. So, yeah, no, the Barren is as unique experience as for me, you know, going to Iceland and people coming to the Barren, Orne Islands, the Cliffs of Moher. It's a great place to be. And of course, the whole of Ireland has areas like that. So we can definitely be proud of the heritage and where we are and what we can offer for in food tourism. You know, quality ingredients. I mean, over the 35 years, how the food movement has grown. It's incredible. And what it has grown to.
And I think we can say that you have been one of the trailblazers, the, you know, starting up your business 35 years ago in an area where the Cliffs of Moher probably was the main attraction, but you recognised that you could leverage some visitors from that. So congratulations on the 35 years, Birgitta. Really, really inspiring. And obviously, congratulations again on the SFA award. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me today. It's always great to catch up with you.
It's great that you're showcasing so many people. Your podcast is really growing and growing. Always good to talk. Thank you, Sharon.
You're listening to The Best Possible Taste on West Limerick 102 FM.